are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Brian Peacock, excited for this Friday edition of the program. I hope everybody got their fill of food for Thanksgiving yesterday and then woke up today, had either some pie for breakfast or maybe probably a lot of you went out and had a run, maybe a workout, which is maybe the smarter thing to do. Maybe some turkey sandwiches are in your future or are in your past already. But I'm excited for today's guest, Trevor Sikkema, of not only Locked On NFL Draft, but the Draft Network and Pewter Report covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we're going to talk some Tampa Bay Bucs 49ers for the matchup on Sunday. But really, a lot of this conversation is going to be centered around the NFL draft because that's what Trevor does. And the 49ers are headed for a very high draft pick, as are the Buccaneers. So we're going to look at some of the top prospects, some edge rushers specifically, and some wide receivers that could be available for the 49ers in the first round and maybe later in the draft. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We're on Google Podcasts. You can find this podcast and all the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Trevor's show, Locked On NFL Draft, just about anywhere. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can email the program, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And I'm sure we'll have some more mailbag segments coming up next week. And Monday will be a rapid react show. That'll be the next show following this 49ers Buccaneers contest on Sunday. And I wanted to give Trevor maximum time here on the show, so let's just move on to today's guest. All right, my guest today is the great Trevor Sikkema of course, Locked On NFL Draft, PewterReport.com, but the newest venture at doing big things over at the Draft Network. First of all, Trevor, congrats on the Draft Network. It's fantastic for people like me who are way into the draft having this much content already in the season.
No, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on, first and foremost. But yeah, it's been a fun little process here, getting the Draft Network kicked off, working with some great guys, some great writers. And I'm just telling you, I can't reveal too much, but what you see right now is even just kind of barely scratching the surface of what we're going to do. So if you're into the NFL draft at all, we're going to give you guys your fix in basically every way you want it.
That is awesome to hear because it's already the best site out there. I'm not saying that because you're right here with me on the air. To have what you guys had in September and October, nobody has that. Like, you had what people would have as their finished product in April, like the amount of content already throwing out mock drafts and rankings. And it was like, even the smallest, like, I'll be surprised. I'll go like, oh, who's this prospect I'd never heard of? I'll go check it out. And you've got something written up on the guy already. So it's fantastic for anybody who follows the NFL draft or wants to.
Yeah. Ton of work in the summer from guys like John Ledyard, Joe Marino, Kyle Krabs, Ben Solak, Brad Kelly. Those guys did a ton of stuff. I actually built the website, so I'm the one who kind of like designed it, and I was doing that part, and they were doing a lot of the back end stuff. And yeah, big kudos to them, because when they told me, hey, we're gonna have reports and info of like 6,000 draft eligible guys, I was like, all right, you guys are insane, but if you want to do it, it's fine. I'll build you a website for it. So
let's go. Hell yeah. That is awesome. That's fantastic. So congrats on that. Everybody, you got to go check out thedraftnetwork.com. By the way, follow Trevor at Tampa Bay Trey on Twitter. And also congrats on your success with Locked On NFL Draft. Obviously, here on the network, it's been, you know, to pull the curtain back a little bit, it's been so fun to watch the growth of the network and a friendly rivalry, I think, with the shows. We get updates on top 10 shows of the network every week. And I did a little dance when Locked On 49ers took over the top spot from Locked On NFL Draft earlier in the season. But since then, there's been some jostling for position at the top. You know, you guys, Packers, Chiefs, the Garoppolo injury and some losses mounting for the 49ers has not helped my numbers. But I think we all know when the games actually end, it will be NFL draft season, and Locked On NFL Draft will be on top for the offseason.
You know, that's a funny thing, because when content doesn't go well for you guys, it coincidentally goes very well for us. So all the 49ers fans that stopped listening to Locked On 49ers are now listening to Locked On NFL Draft because they're already looking forward to stuff. So it's funny how that works.
It is hilarious how that works. And so, like, as teams drop off, your numbers start to rise, I'm guessing.
Oh, absolutely.
And really, Locked On 49ers will basically become and started slowly getting there is a 49ers-specific version of Locked On NFL Draft in the offseason.
Yeah, you guys do good stuff. So I'm glad to have you pairing with us here in this draft journey.
And it's awesome because I call it a friendly rivalry because the better everybody else does, the better I do and the better we do as a network.
Course.
So it's been awesome.
Yep.
So speaking of Locked On NFL Draft, your co-host, John Ledyard, what is John Ledyard's worst draft take right now for 2019?
Oh, man. What a question.
It's hard because there's so many, right?
hold on. Let me look. I got to look this up. Okay. I got to see what his...
Obviously, I kid because Ledyard does such a great job, and both you guys do, and you guys put in so much work, and it's awesome. But I
know, but that's a fantastic question. I wish I had a better answer for it.
Since he's not here right now, I thought I'd give you a chance to just railroad him a little bit.
I'm trying to. I don't think I don't have one off the top of my head. If we go through this podcast and it pops into my head at any point, I'm just gonna shout it out.
Yes.
I'm gonna remember it, and I'm just gonna. I have no problems running John over with a bus when it comes to his takes. So
no, that's
if
good.
I think of it during the show, I will let you know.
But I kind of a good sign for John that there's not one that you're just like, oh, this one, this is crazy. I don't know what he's thinking.
Well, the thing is, and that it's weird because this is such a, you know, you were talking about before all the work that we did during the summer to research a lot of these guys. A lot of the parity that you have between draft analysts, not just us, but I'm talking like everybody who watches these prospects is often in October, November, December. You haven't watched everybody as the same amount of people. Like, for example, you know, like in years past, okay, John might have watched DK Metcalf, the wide receiver from Ole Miss, a ton, and maybe I haven't really seen DK Metcalf, and maybe I'm a big N'Keal Harry fan. Okay, well then, that's why our rankings might be so different. But mm-hmm. for us, it's been a little bit weird because we're trying not to fall into groupthink, right? We always like having different opinions, but we've watched so many of these guys already that they're all so much on our radar, and we're kind of watching everybody else find out who players are and all that kinds of stuff. And so I don't have a glaring need for him yet just because I don't know if there's a guy that he's super high on that maybe I've not watched or that we disagree with a lot. And so that's also been a really interesting dynamic of creating the site. It's really for the first time I have a lot more knowledge of prospects here in November than I ever have before.
Yeah, you guys have put in crazy work, and that's what's been so awesome for people who are, logging on to the Draft Network. And like you mentioned, I think that's an interesting point. The NFL draft groupthink that ends up happening by the time you get to the draft day, and you're like, you'll put out a mock draft, I'm sure, and especially for you, and I'm sure it's like that for all the big media people. You'll put out a mock draft, and you'll have a prospect, say, going 12 overall. And people will lose their damn minds and be like, this guy will go only pick 15. He won't go as high as pick 12. And it's like, what do you like the group think of like how things are going to go? And it's awesome because when the draft actually happens, and that's what makes it so fun, is the actual NFL draft is so bizarre and so insane and crazy compared to all the group think that ends up happening by April.
Yep. Yep. No, it's awesome. It's always a fun process to let it play out, because no matter what you think, you could do all the research on a prospect that you want, but at the end of the day, the people who are calling the shots on NFL teams, they're always a wild card. Like, these guys don't know everything. And I mean, we don't either. I'm not saying either way, but I think that's what makes it so interesting and easy to follow and fun to be a fan of, because you could have the guys that you like that, hey, maybe you were higher on than the NFL should have been. And a couple years down the road, you can go, you know what? They should have drafted that guy. I could have told you. And there's a little bit of pride in it, certainly, but it makes it a lot of fun. It's a fun process every year, no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do. It's like 32 teams have 32 different draft boards, and they don't really tune into, you know, they're not going off of Mel Kiper's board like some fan might be, you know. And it's fun because I do the same thing. I do a 49ers shadow draft every year, and I look back, and it's like I take pride. I'm like, yeah, dude, see, I was kind of right. Like, what the hell were you guys thinking? So that's the fun part of the NFL draft.
It's fun. It's a fun little exercise.
And so when it comes to Bucks 49, look, we might end up talking NFL draft this whole podcast, and that's okay by me. But the reason I wanted to have you on this week, obviously, 49ers playing the Bucks. There's actually some draft implications here. Niners and Bucks, a combined 5 wins right now. The one thing that's been overriding for the 49ers this season, as soon as the year kind of went in the tank, fans started looking at the draft and like, oh, then it starts to be like, oh, let's go to tank mode. Let's just tank for the best player. Right now, Nick Bosa looks like maybe he's that guy. So I'll ask you, is Nick Bosa that far ahead as the number one guy in the 2019 draft? So much so that 49ers fans should be rooting for the top pick to take such a player?
Yeah, I really do think so. I mean, he is such a his impact is such a carbon copy of the way that Joey, his brother, was able to have an impact while at Ohio State. And we've already seen that when he's been on the field for the Chargers, even as a young player who has missed some time, when he has been out there, the traits that both of these guys show, even just genetically, is what makes them really good draft prospects. And that's always the tough part to nail down. You want to know how a guy is going to translate to the next level. And it's making it kind of easy being able to see how the things that Joey does well with the Chargers exist so much in Nick. And Nick, I'm telling you, man, Nick might even have better hands, faster hands, more violent hands. And that was almost a trait of Joey's that was his calling card going into the draft. And we're already seeing how much success that can have at the next level. And Nick might be even better. Nick has played every single spot on the defensive line for Ohio State during his time there. He's learned how to deal with double teams, triple teams, being the most attentive guy, whether he's on the edge or inside, or he's got so many different places that you can play him and still be effective. And I think that just goes to show you the talent level that this kid has as a total football player. And we're seeing this on the offensive side, and we're seeing a little bit on the defensive side, this creativity of how you can use each guy to their advantage, confuse offensive lines, especially up at the front when we're talking about quarterback pressure. And there's no better piece than Joey Bosa, or than Nick Bosa, in terms of size, strength, ability, motor, different places that you can play him, and the techniques that he's sound in all of them. And so I think it's a really, really great interior defensive line class, and even the edge class is starting to look even better too. So it might just be a good defensive line class in general. But that being said, I don't think there's anybody more worthy of the number one overall pick than Nick Bosa right now.
All right, I want to get a little bit more into this edge class and Nick Bosa more with Trevor Sikkema after this. I'm excited to tell everyone about the newest sponsor of the Locked On Podcast Network, Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to heated car seats. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 12 hours on each charge. So Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget, which is pretty amazing. This is the perfect gift for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, or anybody that loves the outdoors or hates being cold. Heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns, so you can stay warm and cozy from head to toe. Action Heat is available in men's and women's and has great new styles and models just released for this winter season. So get some heated products that fit everyone's budget starting at just $39.99. We've got a special deal for our listeners. 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon. To check out everything Action Heat has to offer. Again, that's actionheat.com/lockedon, or you can just go to actionheat.com and use coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save that 20%. So stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, when it comes to Nick Bosa, Trevor, the one thing with Joey Bosa, because Joey had the same sort of hype going into the 2017 draft. And
yes.
So, no, 2016, I guess.
Or 2016.
Yeah, 2016.
Yeah,
so 2016. Niners took DeForest Buckner that year at pick 7.
And wasn't a bad pick themselves.
No, great pick there for the 49ers. So with Joey Bosa, there was a lot of argument once like the combine came and he didn't work out like fantastic as far as a speed athlete for the position, and maybe that's why he went third instead of first. And I think some people maybe started to move him down boards a little bit after the combine. What I'm wondering with Nick is he looks a little bit smaller than Joey, but does he have a little bit more juice?
Yeah, it kind of seems so. And now remember, okay, Joey went third overall, but remember who went in front of him? Quarterbacks, Jared Goff and Carson Wentz did.
Right.
And that's the big thing in this class. There's not a solidified quarterback. And so when you ask me about hey, who's the most likely guy to go number one? Is Nick Bosa still the favorite? I think he's the overwhelming favorite because I think that the only position that could overtake that is for a quarterback, especially seeing how good Nick is. And to your question, to answer it, I do think he has a little bit of extra juice in him. I think that he does things a little bit better. His ability to get off blocks is slightly better. And like I said, he might be a little bit, he's not as big, but I think that he takes that and uses it to his advantage, and he's a little bit faster. Like I said, I think his movements and his hands are a little bit faster even than Joey. So even though he might be losing in size a little bit, he's gaining in speed of the hands and footwork and how he releases and everything like that. And so I wouldn't say that it's really even a negative at all that he might not fill out as much as as his brother did. But yeah, just going back to it, there's this quarterback class, you know, Will Greer, Drew Locke, Justin Herbert, Dwayne Haskins. We're hearing things like Daniel Jones, Brett Ripien. Those are guys who are the top quarterbacks in this class, and I don't see any of them threatening that number one overall spot. The only one who I thought might have was going to be Justin Herbert, and he is, yeah, I guess I got to say fallen. I didn't know if I wanted to say fallen off, but I guess I do have to say fallen off because he looked really good at the beginning of the year and then just has not looked nearly as sharp in his decision making. And we've heard that he might be staying in school no matter what. So he might not even come out. And thinking about that and that the kind of the totality there, that's why I really think that Nick Bosa is kind of far and away that top guy.
And when you consider if the 49ers, say, do end up with the number one pick in the draft, the other thing you're not going to have there is an overwhelming trade offer for a team trying to get up and get a quarterback. So
right,
staying
right.
put is probably most likely going to be the best scenario. And what you said about Nick Bosa, I think, gets 49ers fans excited because they've got a bunch of power defensive linemen and especially power defensive ends. They need a little bit more speed, a little bit more juice off the edge. So if Nick Bosa has that signature Bosa motor like his brother and all the technique and is just an animal but with a little bit more speed and a little less size, I mean, that's ideal for San Francisco right now.
Yep. No, I agree. You know, and even, heck, if they were picking later, you know, if we're talking a trade down partner, or maybe they're getting right around the top 10 or outside of the top 10, just into the teens, then there's quite a few speed guys that might be options for him. Ja'Kai
yes.
Polite's one of those guys who's just a kind of a pure speed guy off the edge who could really be a good guy. I don't think people realize how good of a compliment he would be to, I think, a 49ers line that's already set him up to be really successful if that ends up being the case. Josh Allen's another guy from Kentucky that could be on their radar. And so, you know, you never know what's going to happen with trade downs. You really don't. And that's why studying the draft and being well-versed at a lot of these different guys, even if you think, oh, there's no way we're going to get them, you never know what's going to happen. You never know when a team is going to give you an offer you can't refuse. And so those two as well, I think, would be, you know, if you're picking at the top, Bosa is certainly the guy, but if you're picking a little bit further down, guys like Ja'Kai Polite, Josh Allen, I think would be really good options for him.
Is that how you have it ranked right now with the edge guys? Because it looks like a really great class, like you mentioned before, and I know you're a Florida guy, so does that mean Ja'Kai Polite is your guy at the top there? And he was sort of the latest, like maybe the biggest riser this year, because I think all the other players, Montez Sweat and Cleveland Farrell and Brian Burns, people knew about coming into the year, or at least I did. Ja'Kai Polite, I did not know as much about. And then I put on the tape and it was like, oh my God, this is explosive. This is like what you hope to see. So what's the scouting report on Polite and how do you have like those guys ranked right now if you do have them ranked?
Yeah, so Jim McElwain was a head coach for 3 years there down in Florida. And I've told people this, that was the worst coaching staff in America. Like, no question. These guys had no idea what they were doing. They only were there to try to recruit players. The second they got on campus, they didn't know how to teach them. They didn't know how to coach them. Nobody got any better. They had five-star kids that didn't get an ounce better at the game of football from the moment they stepped on campus to when their final year was. And it looked like that might have been the case with Ja'Kai, because his first 2 years, yes, he flashed naturally a little bit, but they were so few and far between, it didn't really matter. This year, they get Todd Grantham in as their defensive coordinator under Dan Mullen, who's now the head coach. And you can just see the way that Polite sets up tackles to move one way and then the other, the counters that he has, how he can burst off the line of scrimmage, how active he is, and how smart he is now with his arms and his hands. It's just so much better. And you're seeing that combined with raw talent. Polite would not be number two for me. My ranking right now with edge rushers, and I'll give you the top six because the top six are guys that I just love. Nick Bosa, Cleveland Farrell from Clemson, Ja'Kai Polite would then be three, Josh Allen is four, Montez Sweat is five, and then Brian Burns is six. And I think all six of those guys, maybe even a seventh one you could throw in there, all of them are going to go in the first round. All of them could possibly go in the top 25, maybe even the top 20, who knows, depending on how the draft board kind of falls out on draft night. But These are impact edge players. These are guys who have a knack for making plays in the backfield, beating their assignments one-on-one, consistently getting sacks, getting to the quarterback. And I think that's the mentality that's really important. And so all six of those guys, I think, can play in the NFL and be really good additions as edge players in the top 32, wherever you're picking.
So you were mentioning those guys. And so let's say the 49ers, if they do absolutely need to get some speed off the edge in the draft, and somehow they go a different direction in round one, do you see any of those guys being available at the top of round two? Sort of like what would happen with, by the way, shadow 49er Harold Landry, who fell to the second round last year. Is maybe Burns that guy just because he's so light and he would be that perfect player? Because the 49ers need really two edge guys, because they have that Leo position, which is your weak side defensive end pass rusher, and then they have a strong side linebacker in this scheme that's more like a hybrid player, like a 3-4 outside linebacker who would stand up on early downs and then could rush with his hand in the ground on third down. So any players like that, maybe Burns, who's the most likely to be there at the top of the second round?
Yeah, I mean, a lot kind of goes into that with interviews and figuring out who players are. Like, I've heard some shaky things about Polite, to where he might be a polarizing guy. Some teams might think that he is a top 20 talent. Other guys might say, we don't really like that guy. And we don't really know if this guy is fit for our team. And those are the kind of guys that you see have the chance to drop. Who knows if that actually happens with Polite? We will see. Brian Burns is another guy. He is tiny, man. He is, I think, 225, 220. And that's light for an edge defender. And so there's going to be questions on, that's why he is ranked six for me. I mean, he's got better production than some of the guys in front of him, but that's a big reason why he is edge six for me right now. And you wonder how much weight he could put on, how fast he will still remain, how much weight, if you do put weight on him, is going to be good weight. You never really know. That's always tough. NFL conditioning, you hope it's a little bit better. You hope the coaching helps him out too. But Burns, I could see. Burns could slip. It might be a little tough. Anfernee Jennings is a guy who I think is probably a day two guy from Alabama who could be an option. Wyatt Ray is a guy from Boston College who hasn't had consistent production, but he's had a couple of games here and there. I think the Wake Forest game was one of them where he was just unstoppable. I think he had four sacks in one game. And so those are the guys that kind of flash a little. And then, hey, if you ever want to, you're looking at taking a risk on a guy, Trayvon Hill from Virginia Tech. This is a guy who at the beginning of the year, we watched him. I can't remember who that first game was against. Maybe it was Florida State. I can't remember. On national television, whatever it was, and he looked unblockable as a bendy speed guy around the edge, but ended up getting kicked off the team midway through the year, and so who knows what's happening with him. He's one of those talented edge rushers I watched this year, and now he's not even on a college football team, so who knows what's going to happen there, but those are all options of potential guys that have a lot of talent that could really impact an edge play if you're not going one in round one.
You said something interesting there about Polite that I didn't really put together before, but his scouting report sounds a lot like Dante Fowler. One-year wonder. There was some whispers about Fowler, off the field stuff, and obviously he ended up getting traded away from Jacksonville there. Very similar height, weight, speed. How do you see those two guys who both went to Florida?
Yeah, I mean, Dante probably should not have gone as high as he went, and that's just a matter of, again, that's an instance right there of, hey, this is a polarizing prospect. Some teams are going to have him high on their board. Some teams might not even have him on their board at all. You just never know. But it only takes one team. It only takes one team to pull the trigger, and then you go, yep, there's the number three overall pick. Like, he was worth that or whatever it was. And so that was the feeling with Fowler. And yeah, he ends up leaving Jacksonville, ends up not really being worth the investment for him. I think they got a fourth round pick back for him. I believe that's what they got.
They might have got a three.
Oh, did they get a three? Yeah, I can't remember.
I was surprised I actually exactly by what they got for an impending free agent.
Yeah. So, but again, the talent, you always have to weigh the talent. You're never sure. I never want to compare a guy's situation too much to before, because it's almost like it's kind of like the snowflake theory. Like, everyone is literally different. You know, it's never exactly the same. Especially when it comes to backstory and mentality of players and who they are off the field, you could take little warning signs, maybe little pieces here and there. I think that the Dante Fowler one is somewhat interesting just because they went to the same school, but I'm not sure how much goes into that, because I'm not one that has sat down with a guy like Jakai Polite, and that's something that makes this process difficult. I mean, I can tell you how good a guy like him is on the field, but I'm never in the interview room with him, you know, and unless I do a big piece, like a long form piece on him, I never really get the opportunity to sit down and talk to guys like that or whoever it might be. And so that's a part of scouting that we on the internet, I guess I'll say, never get to really complete is finding out who these guys are off the field. And that is a big reason of what goes into where they get drafted.
No, that's a great point. That in medical, you don't have that full information. And correct. I can imagine, I've been a hiring manager at places before. I can't imagine totally sitting across the desk from a guy and 5 minutes later being like, I do not want to see that guy every day. Like, I don't want any part of that guy around my people.
Yep.
So I can definitely see how that could work. All right. I'm having fun talking to edge guys with you. Want to ask you about wide receivers, and we'll get to Niners Bucks after this. Got to talk just for a second about Niners Bucks. And one question, though, before we get there with draft prospects, wide receivers, who's your number one guy after DK Metcalf if he doesn't come out? He's got the neck injury. There's a guy I love, Hakeem Butler. It seems to be everybody's wide receiver list is different, but a lot of big-bodied guys.
Yeah, there is actually some variation in the wide receiver rankings. I like that because there's not a ton of variation in our rankings right now outside of that. DK Metcalf would be my wide receiver one. Not sure that he's going to come out. I really don't think that he is. Neck injuries are so tricky. It's real tricky for him. So I don't know if he's going to come out, if he's going to be able to work out, anything like that. But a healthy DK Metcalf is my wide receiver one. JJ Arcega-Whiteside from Stanford.
Oh.
He's actually my wide receiver one filling in. I think that what he does reminds me so much of Marquise Colston and the ability that Colston had to dominate cornerbacks, box them out, use his body to his advantage. And Arcega-Whiteside, if you pop in the tape and you watch him, Ben Solak did a nice job kind of writing him up and talking about him. He's like a rebounder. You know, he uses his butt and he uses his hips and he boxes cornerbacks out and he's physical without drawing pass interference. And he's got that long arms. He's such a hands and extended arms catcher. And that is just sometimes so rare for these guys that you seem to like. You can look at their arms you could look at their wingspan. And you could say, wow, look at this guy's wingspan. But here's the thing. If the guy doesn't catch with his hands, if he's not natural extending his arms and catching the ball, it does not matter what his wingspan is. If he's letting everything come into his chest, if he's trying to basket catch everything, then it doesn't matter. Arcega-Whiteside is 100% a hands catcher. He's a guy who loves to use his length to his advantage in every way. And he's a better athlete than I thought he was going into the year. And so he has really impressed me. I think he is a clutch time, third down, red zone winner. And we are seeing so much these days that you can score, you can rack up all the yards you want in between the 20s. If you can't score a touchdown when you get inside the red zone, it won't matter. And JJ Arcega-Whiteside seems like the best red zone guy to me. Hakeem Butler would be my wide receiver two. I'm with you. I like him a lot. I think he's freaky athletic for a guy that as big as he is. Kelvin Harmon, my wide receiver three from NC State, very alpha personality. If you're looking for a true X receiver, Kelvin Harmon's a guy who can get it done there. Colin Johnson is my wide receiver four. He's the big bodied guy from Texas. Not getting a lot of stats, not getting a lot of production, but sometimes, boy, you could pop on the highlights and you could just see that this is a rare athlete for another guy who is as big as he is. Riley Ridley, Marquise Brown, AJ Brown. Those are my next three. Those guys are route runner extraordinaires. They can get open in a variety of different ways, in quick routes, in the slot, and deep down the field. I think those are key mismatch players. They're guys that you can use in a variety of different ways and that any team can find use for. And so I believe that was, what was that, my top seven, top eight, something like that. So those would be the top guys I like.
That's a good list to work from. And it's funny because Kyle Shanahan's list probably has none of those guys because all he looks for is separators. And so his top guy's probably 5'10", 180 pounds because his type. And 49ers fans and me in particular, like, I'm going to be like, oh, please draft one of these big-bodied, like, alpha true number one types that can move the chains and help you out in the red zone. And who knows if the 49ers will actually go that way, but I have my feeling that they will not, unfortunately.
A guy who might be a Shanahan guy just on the radar would be a guy like DeMarcus Lodge, one of the other Ole Miss wide receivers, just because he is good. He's good at separating. He's got a little bit of a drop problem. I've heard whispers that might have some character concerns. Uh-oh. Who knows? I'm not sure there yet. But in terms of if this guy is available late in the draft, Shanahan might pull the trigger on a guy like that.
You dropped a tweet this week that went somewhat viral, I guess you could say, and it was kind of mind-blowing, and I had to read it twice. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had more yards against the Washington Redskins than the Rams did on Monday Night Football against the Kansas City Chiefs, mm-hmm. and the Bucs scored 3 points. The Rams scored 54. What the hell?
Yes. Yeah, what the hell is kind of what we're all trying to figure out down here in Tampa Bay, actually. It's just something every week with this team. And it's so weird because I went back and I watched I do a column called Cover 3 where I get into some film of the previous Bucs week. And I went and I watched every single red zone snap that the Buccaneers took against the Washington Redskins. And every single snap, it was something, whether it was the left guard didn't do his job, got blown up, gets a little pressure. Okay, that's all right. Didn't work there. Okay, Fitzpatrick just didn't make the right read there. Okay, all right, I understand that. It happens every now and then. Oh, this ball hit Mike Evans straight in the hands. Can't do any better than that, and he just dropped it. Okay, not great. All right, well, now the left tackle left the pressure and didn't get every single play, no matter what it is something with the Buccaneers. And they broke an NFL record that day. The most yards and the fewest points. I mean, it was just mind-boggling kind of the way that they were able to move the ball and how they continue to have more red zone woes than it seems like every other team in the NFL does. And so that is the reason why the Buccaneers, as talented as their offense is, are 3-7, because they cannot finish. They cannot finish drives and they cannot finish games.
So that was the Fitzpatrick Bucks, right? So is Winston, yes. Is Winston a better option now? Is Winston in purgatory? Is he playing for his job right now?
Winston's the better option simply because you went back to Fitzpatrick in the middle of the year, hoping that you could continue on that crazy magic, if you will, that Fitz magic, if you will, at the beginning of the year. Maybe he can overcome the shortcomings of the defense, get you a win in Carolina, especially get you a win at home against Washington. He couldn't do either. And he was the reason why they lost those games. So now he was a starter again this past week in New York. Couldn't overcome a New York defense that is just not good and a Giants team that is just not good. They end up getting blown out in a shootout from, a team that is just not good. So they're going to go with Winston. I think they're going to go with Winston the entire rest of the year, and they kind of have to. They've got to figure out what they have in Jameis Winston because he's going into his fifth-year option next year, and then beyond that, you know, to keep him around, you would have to sign him basically to a mega contract. And so they have to basically use every game that they have left of Jameis Winston to figure out who they have, what this kind of quarterback is. Because, I mean, let me tell you, he came back in the game. It was in the second half against the Giants. He's the same dude. Made a bunch of mistakes. Should have had a couple of turnovers. Ended up having a couple of turnovers. And so I don't know, man. I don't really know what to make of Jameis Winston. All I know is that you have to play him now. He's the future. He's 24, and you've got to see what you got in him. So he'll be the starter against San Francisco. I had no doubt in that. But really, which Jameis Winston and which Buccaneers team you get from week to week is about as up in the air as the passes that the quarterbacks seem to throw that end up getting intercepted.
And we will find that out on Sunday, which Jameis Winston shows up. Trevor, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time. And again, congrats on all the great work you're doing over there.
Yeah, of course, man. It was great being with you anytime.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks again to Trevor for joining me on the show. Follow him at Tampa Bay Trey. And you got to subscribe to Locked On NFL Draft if you don't already. That is must hear radio, especially around draft season and in the off season, but really all season long, the work those guys put in is awesome. And I can't say enough about the work they're doing over there at the Draft Network now, which started up this season and is a fantastic resource for football fans. All right, I will talk to you guys next week. Rapid React Show on Monday, breaking down everything from 49ers, Buccaneers, right here on Locked On 49ers.